Hare Krishna, welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, 72 verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dandavach Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much,
Hare
Prabhuji,
Krishna,
for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic, Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Shyama Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much, Priti Vilasini Mataji, for kindly inviting me here to speak something upon Srimad Bhagavatam at this wonderful Bhakti Sangha Japa Group Conference. Our standard practice is to begin with Mangalacharan. So I will begin with Mangalacharan. Most of us know these prayers already. So you can sing along with me. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सोऽयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेश तारिणे नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते सप्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। तो थैंक यू वेरी मच वंस अगेन श्यामा गौरी माताजी, प्रीति विलासिनी माताजी. I hope that my voice is clear and audible to all of you. And
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Can you start your video, Prabhuji, please?
I tried. You mean my phone video?
Yes, Prabhuji. Just there is a cam icon, right? Just click on that.
Yeah, but I'll have to hold the phone in my hand throughout the class then.
If you place it in front of you, it won't work, Prabhu.
Can you see, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, it's perfect. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. So, I've held it in my hand right now. I'll try to keep it somewhere. Okay. Is it also okay if we do it without
video? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, when you placed it down also, it's okay. It's perfect.
Okay. So, thank you very much. Mataji, we'll begin with Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, verse number 72. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idamaha Purasmakam Bhagavan Vishwasrikpatihi. Vrigvadinam Atmajanam. Sisrakshutam Sisrakshatam. Word for word meaning. Idam, this. Aha, said. Pura, formerly. Asmakam, unto us. Bhagavan, the Lord. Vishwasrik, the creators of the universe. Patihi, master. Bhrigu Adinam, of the great sages headed by Bhrigu. Atmajanam, of his sons. Sisrikshu, desirous of creating. Sam Sisrikshatam, who are in charge of creation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators headed by Bhrigu were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. Purport. Lord Brahma was created by Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Brahma created Lord Shiva and other great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni. These great sages included Bhrigu, Marichi, Atreya, Vasishtha, and others. All these great sages were in charge of creating population. Since there were not very many living entities in the beginning, Vishnu entrusted Brahma with the business of creation. And Brahma, in his turn, created many hundreds and thousands of demigods and great sages to continue with the creation. At the same time, Lord Brahma cautioned all his sons and disciples by reciting the prayers now recited by Lord Shiva. The material creation means material engagement. But material engagements can be counteracted if we always remember our relationship with the Lord, as that relationship is described in these prayers recited by Lord Shiva. In this way, we can remain constantly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, despite our engagement in the creation, we cannot be deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. In this material world, everyone is engaged in some particular occupational duty which is prescribed in the Varnashram Dharma. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and everyone are engaged in their occupational duty. But if one remembers his first duty, keeping in constant contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything will be successful. If one simply executes the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma in the role of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra and keeps busy and does not remember one's eternal relationship with the Lord, one's business and activities as well as occupational duties will simply be a waste of time. This is confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Dharmah svanushthitah pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyah notpadayet yadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. The conclusion is that even if one is busy executing his occupational duty, his business in Krishna consciousness need not be hampered. He has simply to execute the devotional service of Shravanam Kirtanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, hearing, chanting and remembering. One need not abandon his occupational duty. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.46, Yatah pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tata svakarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavah. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading man, can in the performance of his own duty attain perfection. Thus, one can continue with his occupational duty, but if he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Shiva herein prescribes, he attains his perfection of life. Svanushthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. We should continue executing our occupational duties, but if we try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by our duties, then our lives will be perfected. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much, dear devotees, once again for kindly being here, present here on the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. And today we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, verse number 72. Idam aha pura asmakam Bhagavan Vishwasrik Patihi Brigvadi nam Atmajanam Sisrikshu Sam Sisrikshakam. So, before I begin to explain something about this particular verse, I would first like to once again go through the word for word and explain the meaning. So this particular verse has been spoken by Lord Shiva. This is in the chapter entitled Rudra Geet, or chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is speaking this particular verse, and he is describing where exactly he heard this Rudra Geet for the first time, this glorification of the Supreme Lord for the first time. So it's not his own creation. This particular Rudra Geet was heard by him from Lord Brahma. This is what he speaks in this verse. So this prayer, Idam, Ahapura, it was first spoken, Asmakam, to us. By whom? By Bhagavan Vishwasrikpatihi, by Brahma, who is Vishwasrikpati, who is the master of all created. Okay, and to whom was this prayer originally spoken? So it is said, Bhrigvadinam Atmajanam. It was spoken to the creators headed by Bhrigu, etc. They were instructed in these prayers. By whom? By Brahma, who was Sisrikshu. Brahma, who was eager to create, and this was spoken to Bhrigu, etc., who were the sons of Lord Brahma. They were some Sisrikshatam. They also wanted to create. Also, after reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, it is also important to see some given by the previous acharyas on this particular verse. So I would like to also read something about what the previous acharyas have said. First and foremost, the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami's commentary is important because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani Sridhar Anugata Kuru Bhagavat Vyakhya. So we should all accept Sridhar Swami as our guru, and whenever we make a study of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should study it according to the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami. This is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Sridhar Swami, while commenting on this verse, says, Vishwa Srijam Pati Brahma. From this verse, so he is commenting upon the term Vishwa Srikpatihi. So, while commenting upon the term Vishwa Srikpatihi, Sridhar Swami simply says, Vishwasrijam Patihi. So Vishwasrik Patihi means Vishwasrijam Patihi, the Lord of all the creators of this universe. So there are many sub-creators of this universe. For example, Vishwakarma is one creator who creates various places on the in the heavenly planets. So he is also one of the sub-creators of this universe. But of all the sub-creators, Vishwasrijam Patihi, he who is the Lord of them all, that is Vishwasrikpati, that is our Lord Brahma. So, Sridhar Swami says, Vishwasrijam Patir Brahma. This is what he is tiny comment on these verses. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha commentary has not given any comment on this verse. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on this verse says asmakam asman. So he is commenting upon the term pura asmakam, which is there in the first line of the verse. So pura asmakam, he is picking out the term asmakam from there. After picking out the term asmakam, he says the term asmakam should be understood as asman. So this prayer was spoken to asmakam, which means asman, which means the prayer was spoken to us who are the sons of Brahma. Who all are the sons of Brahma? It is Bhrigu, Shiva, Marichi. So all the sons of Brahma were present. Lord Shiva was one of them, and therefore Lord Shiva also heard this specific prayer when Lord Brahma recited it for the first time. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment is also very short. Next comes another acharya whose name is Vamshidhar. Vamshidhar Sharma, in his commentary, he also gives a very short comment. He says Idam Stotram. So he is commenting upon the term, first term in the verse Idam. Idam means this. This means what? So Vamshidhar Sharma says Idam means Stotram. This Sotra, or these verses of glorification of the Supreme Lord. Now, next comes the Acharya from the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. His name is Sri Veer Raghavacharya. Sri Veer Raghavacharya is an Acharya from the Sri Sampradaya, and he has also written a commentary upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. In his commentary, he is saying, Stotrasya Sampradayakatvam Ah. So Stotrasya Sampradayakatvam Ah. He says that in this verse, Lord Shiva is saying that this entire Stotra, this entire song of Lord Shiva, it belongs to a particular Sampradaya. It's a very important comment. He says this entire song of Lord Shiva has a Sampradayakatva, which means it belongs to a particular Sampradaya. So which Sampradaya does it belong to? Of course, it belongs to the Sampradaya which has been started by Lord Brahma himself. Because Brahma is the original person who has spoken this verse. Since Brahma is the original person who has spoken this verse, so this entire verse, this entire set of verses, this entire prayers belong to the Sampradaya of Lord Brahma. So then, he says, Vishwasrijam Marichi Adinam Patir, Vishwasrik Brahma. So he also explains the term Vishwasrik Pati, and he says that he is the Lord of all the sub-creators, such as Marichi, etc. Atmajanam Srashtum Ichchatam Brigvadinam Asmakam Pura Ahavishtavan. So he clarifies that this prayer was initially spoken to Bhrigu, etc., by Lord Brahma. Then next comes a commentator from the Madhva Sampradaya. This commentator is named Sri Vijaya Dvaja Tirtha. Sri Vijaya Dvaja Tirtha says, Shraddham Janayati Idam Ahati. So Vijaya Dvaja Tirtha says that in this verse, Lord Shiva is enforcing the faith in this particular set of prayers known as Rudra Gita. How does he enforce faith? He enforces faith by saying that it is not my own mental creation. This prayer was originally spoken by Lord Brahma. So then Vijayadvaj Tirtha also says Vishwasrik Patir Brahma. The term Vishwasrik Pati in the verse means Lord Brahma. Then comes a commentator from the Nimbarka Sampradaya. His name is Sri Shuk Sudhi. And in his commentary he says, Sisrikshuhu Prajaha Srashtum Ichchuhu. So he is commenting upon the term Sisrikshuhu in the verse, and this term refers to Lord Brahma, and he explains it by saying Prajaha Srashtum Ichchuhu, that Lord Brahma, he was Prajaha Srashtum Ichchuhu, which means he was eager for creating progeny in this universe. Then he says Vishwasrijam Patir Brahma Samstisrikshatam. भृग्वादीनाम् आत्मजानाम् अस्माकं पुरा इद स्तोत्रम् आह. सो देन् ही सेस् विश्वसृजां पतिर्ब्रह्म. सो द क्रियेटर् द लार्ड् आफ् आल् द सब् क्रियेटर्स् आफ् दिस् यूनिवर्स् हिस् नेम् इस् ब्रह्म. सो he spoke this verse to all those sons who were interested in creation, for example Bhrigu etc. Finally, there is also a commentator, very less known commentator from the Madhva Sampradaya. His name is Yadupati Acharya. He also says shraddha utpadanaya ah idam ah iti. He also says that this particular verse has been spoken to enforce to strengthen the faith of the listeners in this entire song sung by Lord Shiva. So then he also says Vishwasrijam Patir Brahma. He also explains the term Vishwasrik Pati and explains it as Lord Brahma. So dear devotees, these are all the commentators that I could find. So these were a total of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 commentators on the same verse, from whose commentaries I spoke something. So they have given very brief comments on this verse, and they have tried to explain the term Vishwa Srikpati, Vishwa Srijampati, which has been given in the verse. So moving ahead, then I would like to also speak something about the term Bhagavan, which is given in the verse. So this particular term Bhagavan has been applied here especially to Brahma in this verse. Since this term Bhagavan has been applied to Lord Brahma in this specific verse, I would like to speak something about this term, because this term is usually used for Lord Vishnu. Bhagavan is usually used for Lord Vishnu, but this time it has been used here for Lord Brahma. So it is important for us to understand what is the meaning of this term Bhagavan, which has been used here in the context of Lord Brahma. So first and foremost, we have to understand this thing, that by default the term is used for Lord Vishnu, Bhagavan, but here it has been used for Lord Brahma. The reason behind this being, sometimes other powerful personalities in the universe termed as Bhagavan. For example, in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva is also referred to as Bhagavan. Although Lord Shiva himself is born from Lord Brahma in this world, but still Lord Shiva is referred to as Bhagavan in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One such place where Lord Shiva has been referred to as Bhagavan is in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 10th chapter, verse number 19. So in 12th canto, 10th chapter, verse number 19, Lord Shiva is glorifying Markandeya Rishi. So there also it is said Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. And Shri Bhagavan Uvacha means Lord Shiva said. So Shri Bhagavan Uvacha has been used there for Lord Shiva. So there are many places like this where the term Bhagavan, which is usually used for Lord Vishnu, is used for Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. So we have to understand what is the reason behind this and what is the original definition of the term Bhagavan. We might have heard this definition quite often in our devotee society, that Bhagavan is he who has six qualities always attached to him. And we know this definition very well. Definition is Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriya Jnana Vairagyayo Chaiva Shannam Bhaga Iti Nana. So this definition is very clearly known to us. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya, he who has all opulence. Opulence is the first characteristic. Viryasya, second is all strength. Yashasvaha, who has all fame. Shriya, he who has all fortune, Jnana, he who has all knowledge, and sixth is Vairagya, he who has all renunciation. So such a personality who has these six qualities in unlimited quantity is known as Sri Bhagavan. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas has also given another definition of Bhagavan. So Srila Jiva Goswami is quoting Vishnu Puran, and Vishnu Puran gives another definition also, where this same verse which I quoted, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya, before that there is another verse given. It says, Sambharteti tatha bharta bhakarortha dvayanvitah neta gamayita srashta gakararth tatha mune. Then it says the same verse which we have quoted so many times, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. Then it quotes the six qualities, and that is known as Bhagavan. So first and foremost, in the Vishnu Puran, the term Bhagavan is defined by breaking it down into individual alphabets. So the term Bhagavan, Vishnu Puran says that the term Bhagavan is mainly made out of three terms, Bha, Ga, and Va. Actually speaking, the term Bhagavan should be made only out of two words, Bha and Ga. Just like in Sanskrit, somebody who has a very good, beautiful form, we call them Rupavan. Somebody who is very intelligent, we call them Buddhiman. Similarly, one who has Bhaga is called as Bhagavan. So this is the technical definition of Bhaga. And after Bhaga, the suffix Van is added. What does the suffix Van mean? The suffix Van indicates, according to rules of grammar, Nitya Yoga. Nitya Yoga means somebody who is eternally endowed with that quality. So if somebody is eternally endowed with Rupa or good looks, then such a person will become known as Rupavan. The suffix Van will indicate eternal presence of that quality. Similarly, some person has Buddhi, that person will be known as Buddhiman, eternally endowed with intelligence, Nitya Yoga. Similarly, some person has Dhana, wealth, that person will be known as Dhanavan. In a similar way, that person who has Bhaga, now what is Bhaga, that we have to see, but if a person has Bhaga, then that person becomes known as Bhagavan, or eternally endowed with Bhaga. What is Bhaga? These six qualities of Bhaga we have studied. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasa Shriya Jnana Vairagyayos Chaiva Shannam Bhaga Itingana. These six qualities are known as Bhaga, which we see in Bhagavan. And since the Lord is eternally equipped with these six qualities, therefore he is known as Bhagavan. So this Van suffix is added for eternal accompaniment of a certain quality. However, in the Vishnu Puran, the term Bhagavan is also explained by breaking down the terms Bha, Ga, Va. So if we see it from that point of view, then the term which will be formed is not Bhagavan, but the term which will be formed is Bhagavan, with an extra va in between. So instead of Bhagavan, we will have Bhagavan. But Vishnu Puran explains in that way. It says, Sambharteti tatha bharta bhakararto dvayanvitah. Sambharteti tatha bharta. So Vishnu Puran says the term, the alphabet Bha means he is Sambharta. Sambharta means he is the nourisher of the entire universe, especially his devotees. Tatha Bharta, and he is the lord of the entire universe. These are the two meanings conveyed by the alphabet Bha. And then it says, Neta Gamayita Srashta Gakararthas Tatha Mune. And the second alphabet, Ga, conveys three meanings. Neta, he who is the leader of all entities in this universe. Gamayita, he who carries all living entities to the spiritual world, or he who takes them to the spiritual world. Srashta, and he who is the creator of this material world. Gakar Arthas Tatha Mune. These three qualities are embedded in the alphabet Ga. Then it says, Vasanti Tatra Bhutani Bhutatmanyakhilatmani Tacho Bhuteshvasheshu Vakar Arthas Tato Vyaya. And the third alphabet Va, it implies that all living entities are within his body and he is also within the hearts of all the living entities. So Va, Ga and Va, these three alphabets, and then the suffix Van is added. But what will happen is if we add the suffix Van to Va, Ga, Va, then it will become Va, Ga, Va, Van instead of becoming Bhagavan. That will be a problem grammatically. So Srila Jiva Goswami says Arshah, Arshah means sometimes a grammatical exception is added. So although there are three terms Bha, Ga, Va, but still by making a grammatical exception, because this is a Vedic literature and in Vedic literature grammatical exceptions are allowed. So what happens is that Bha, Ga, Va, Van, the Va, extra Va gets removed. And what remains with us is Bhagavan. So this is another explanation of the term Bhagavan given by Srila Jiva Goswami. Now, the other Bhagavans which I was referring to, especially Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma in this universe, they are also sometimes known as Bhagavan. So these other Bhagavans which are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these Bhagavans and our Supreme Lord Bhagavan, they have certain difference because both of them are called as Bhagavan, but what is the difference? So that difference is also given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is it given in Srimad Bhagavatam? So it is given in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. In 10th canto, I will specify the exact verse number. In 10th canto, chapter number 88. So in 10th canto, chapter number 88, verse number 3, it is mentioned very clearly. Shukdev Goswami is saying something. 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse number 3, Shri Shukdev Goswami says, Shivaha Shakti Yutaha Shashwat Trilingo Guna Samvrita. So he says, Shivaha, Lord Shiva, he is Bhagavan, but he is Shakti Yutaha Shashwat. He is that Bhagwan who is always accompanied by material energy, who always is in contact with material energy. Trilingo, Trilingo means he is manifesting his features in all three modes of material nature. And Guna Samvritaha, he is covered by the three modes of material nature. So he is that Bhagwan who has voluntarily accepted control of material nature. He is constantly in touch of material nature and he is covered by the modes of material nature. So he is that Bhagavan who is under the three modes of material nature. And in the same chapter, verse number 5 says, Harir hi nirgunah sakshat purushah prakritih parat. However, our Lord Hari is Sakshat Purushah. He is the original Bhagavan, Prakritihe Parah, and he is beyond the three modes of material nature. Sa Sarvadrik Upadrashta Tam Bhajan Nirguno Bhavit. So he is Upadrashta. He is the witness of all the living entities. And Sarvadrik, he sees all living entities. Tam Bhajan, by worshipping him, Nirguno Bhavet. The worshipper himself goes beyond the three modes of material nature. So this is the difference between the term Bhagavan when it is used for other deities such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and the term Bhagavan when it is used for Lord Vishnu specifically. So this Bhagavan, when it is used in connection with Lord Vishnu, it is used to denote the original supreme personality of Godhead, who is beyond the modes of nature. And when Bhagavan is used in connection with Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, it refers to Supreme Personality of Godhead who is within the material nature. So that is the difference between these two categories of Bhagavan. One more very important thing, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 3rd chapter, very famous verse, Ete chamsha kalah pumsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan, Krishna is Bhagavan, but it adds Swayam. He is the original Bhagavan. So this is a very big difference between the original Bhagavan, the original form of the Lord, and various other forms of the Lord who have accepted various modes of material nature in this universe. So this is the difference between these two categories of Bhagavan. We should understand very clearly. Moreover, there are also many qualities which our Vishnu, Lord Vishnu as Bhagavan has, which Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva may not be exhibiting in this material world. I will give a very small example of this. For example, in this very chapter, Rudra Gita, this Rudra Gita, originally the Prachetas, they are chanting this so that they have been instructed in this song so that they can attain Lord Vishnu. And this instruction is being given by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is easily manifest in front of their eyes. But Lord Vishnu is not so easily manifest in front of their eyes. So in order to attain that Lord Vishnu who is attained with great difficulty, who is not visible to the material eye, for that sake they chanted this song which is known as Rudra Gita. So that Lord Vishnu, he is Bhagavan, but he is not visible to the material eye. It's very important to understand this. Lord Vishnu as Bhagavan is not visible to the material eye. Whereas Lord Shiva, although he is Bhagavan, he is visible to the material eye, especially upon those whom he is pleased. So he very easily becomes pleased and he becomes visible to the material eye of any person upon whom he is pleased. But Lord Vishnu, he is not easily visible in this material world. Another thing, our Lord Krishna, especially Bhagavan, he has one capability in him which is known as Prakash Vigraha. Prakash Vigraha means the capability of manifesting unlimited parallel forms, replicas simultaneously. This capability present within him, this capability present within our Lord Krishna, Bhagavan, is what distinguishes him from various other powerful personalities in this universe. I will give an example of this. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one specific place wherein Narada Muni becomes extremely surprised when he sees that Lord Krishna is simultaneously marrying 16,000 princesses. So this is given in 10th canto. In 10th canto, there is a verse. I will specify the verse number. 10th canto, chapter number 10th canto, chapter number 69, verse number 2. So 10:69:2 is the verse number where it is said, Chitram bataitad ekena vapusha yugapat prithak. Griheshu dvyashta sahasram triya eka udavahat. So very clearly it is said that Narad Muni becomes extremely surprised. Okay, so it says Chitram. Chitram means great surprise. Narad Muni had experienced great surprise. Bata etad ekena vapusha, with one body, yugapat, simultaneously prithak, he was divided. One body simultaneously divided into 16,000 forms. Griheshu dvi ashta sahasram, and he was in 16,000 homes simultaneously. Striya eka udavahat, and in the 16,000 homes he married these 16,000 ladies simultaneously. So I'll read the translation. Narad Muni thought it is quite amazing that in a single body Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women each in a separate palace. So it's very important for us to know this one characteristic of Bhagwan which we do not usually see in other personalities who are labeled as Bhagwan. So Jiva Goswami says here, Narad Muni himself is a perfected yogi. He is himself completely perfected. For him to see a person manifest multiple forms should not be surprising at all. But at the same time, Narad Muni becomes extremely surprised when he sees that Lord Krishna has simultaneously manifested 16,000 forms. Jiva Goswami says, why should a perfected yogi like Narad Muni be surprised? So, Jiva Goswami gives the reply by saying that the verse itself says Yugapat Prithak. At the same time, simultaneously 16,000 forms, but each form had a separate persona of its own. When a yogi manifests multiple forms, these multiple forms are controlled by a single soul, and that single soul dictates the movements of multiple forms. But when the Supreme Lord manifested these replica forms, each of these forms was having a different, separate ego of its own. It was performing separate activities, interacting with each and every queen separately. And since it was interacting with each and every queen separately and having a separate ego identity, for this reason, Narad Muni became extremely surprised. Because these were not 16,000 replicas who were moving like robots. Like one replica will move and all the 16,000 will move in the exact same way. So this was not exactly that way. Every replica was having a distinct ego of its own. And the specific term used by Srila Jiva Goswami here is, it was Prakash Vigraha. The meaning of the term Prakash Vigraha is that it is a replica. When we say Amsha, Amsha means expansion. But Prakash is not expansion. There is a big difference between Amsha and Prakash, dear devotees. Amsha means expansion, but Prakash is not expansion. Amsha means there is an original person, and from an original person there is an expansion. So the original remains original, and from that original person comes an expansion. So the original becomes the source, and the expansion is coming from that source. So this is what is known as Amshar expansion. But Prakash is different. Prakash is replica. Replica, there is no original and there is no expansion. Every entity in a Prakash is original. So what Narad Muni saw there was not 16,000 expansions of Bhagavan. What Narad Muni saw there was 16,000 exact replicas of Krishna. He saw 16,000 Krishnas, 16,000 supreme personalities of Godhead simultaneously present in a single place. And he could not make out which Krishna is original and which Krishna is an expansion, because all of them were originals. For a yogi, when a yogi expands in 8 or 9 forms, the yogi has one original and the remaining are expansions. But Krishna, when he replicated, so we cannot use the term expanded, when Krishna replicated, at that point of time, all of them were original Krishna. So Narad Muni saw 16,000 supreme personalities of Godhead simultaneously marrying 16,000 princesses, and each form interacting with each and every princess with a separate ego. This is one distinct feature of Bhagavan, because many times devotees ask, in the spiritual world, if I ever go and approach Bhagwan, will Bhagwan ever have time for me? Because there are so many millions of living entities in the spiritual world, unlimited, ananta koti Vaishnava Vrinda. So since I will be only one of those ananta koti Vaishnava Vrinda, so will Krishna have any time or any inclination to interact with me? So dear devotees, Krishna will not only have time and inclination, but Krishna will also have a replica for interacting with us. Why so? Because Krishna wants to fulfill the desire of each and every devotee. And this is not the first time when Krishna showed his Prakash Vigraha. Also during the Rasa Leela, Krishna expanded and played around with each and every gopi. And every gopi, it is specified there, every gopi felt that Krishna is giving special attention to me. This is not possible if one person is going around and speaking to all these gopis. It is only possible if one person is present in so many thousands of replicas simultaneously, and there is no expansion and original here. All of them are originals. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Prakash Vigraha. And therefore, when He is called as, others may be called as Bhagwan, Lord Shiva may be called as Shiva Bhagwan, Brahma may be called as Brahma Bhagwan, but Krishna is to Bhagwan Swayam. He is not simply Bhagwan, He is Swayam Bhagwan, which means that He is the original self-same form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He has many transcendental qualities in Him. I just spoke one or two qualities. One is that He is not visible to the material eye. Second is that He has this capability of having unlimited replicas, which are known as Prakash Vigraha. So dear devotees, I try to speak something upon this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 24, verse number 72. And I try to specify, especially emphasize the term Bhagavan given there, because the term Bhagavan there is used for Brahma, but originally Bhagavan is a term which is used for the Supreme Lord Krishna. Actually, one of the names of Krishna in the Vishnu Sahasranam is Sarvanam. Sarvanam means He who has all names. So all names, Sarvanam is one of His names in Vishnu Sahasranam. So Sarvanam means all names. So all names originally belong to Lord Krishna, but they are taken by some other living entities in the material world according to the purpose that they are serving here in the material world. So thank you very much, dear devotees, for kindly listening to what I had to say. And I would once again like to thank Shyama Gauri Mataji, Priti Vilasini Mataji, and all of you, dear devotees, who have kindly given me this time and listened to me. Thank you very much, dear devotees, once again. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, if there are any questions, comments, suggestions, criticisms, corrections, etc., I would like to take them right now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have two doubts. So, first one is the last point that you spoke, that when any soul who goes to spiritual world, they have their, like how the gopis had, they will have their own Krishna. And so, Prabhuji, is He the soul's Paramatma that gets an external manifestation, or this is something else, Prabhuji?
No, this is not the soul's Paramatma who gets an external manifestation. The Paramatma is constantly situated within the heart. So the Paramatma will always remain within the heart. Even in the spiritual world, the Jiva has a Paramatma with itself in the heart. Why? Because why is a Paramatma needed even in the spiritual world? A Paramatma is needed in order to give sanction, in order to bestow knowledge spontaneously. Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So upadeshta anumanta. So anumanta. Some a personality who sanctions a particular action, whether the material world or the spiritual world is needed. So that Paramatma performs its own function in the spiritual world, but at the same time Lord Krishna, not as Paramatma, but as Swayam Bhagavan, is present in his Prakash Vigraha whenever the Jiva feels the need for having personal interaction with the Lord. So this was also visible when Lord Krishna was having food with lunch with all the boys, and all the boys felt that Lord Krishna is looking only at them. So this is only possible when the multiple Prakash Vigrahas are facing each and every boy personally.
Okay, Prabhuji, so one is not exactly relevant to today's class, but something that you spoke about in your fear in bhakti. So can I ask that question, Prabhu?
Sure.
Yeah, because I have been a little uncomfortable, Prabhu, so sorry. You said that Krishna does not understand our material happiness or sadness, and till today, Prabhu, I could not, even if I heard your third session also, but I could not put myself into rest, because personally I am a very sentimental kind of person, and I relate to Krishna not through books, but just like heart to heart. I mean, not to say anything like otherwise, but I am a very foolish kind of person. I don't understand books and philosophy so much, but yes, I related to Krishna always through heart. So saying that he does not understand our sadness, so it's like, you know, crying to a stone, not exactly like, or a little baby who does not understand, but you still go and cry because you have nobody to cry to. So would you say something, Prabhuji? I'm not able to, you know, pacify myself till now.
Okay.
So sorry, Prabhu.
Okay, very nice. So if you carefully saw the presentation, there was one point made where, because I was speaking what Srila Jiva Goswami is speaking in that entire thing. In the entire presentation, Srila Jiva Goswami's words were being quoted. So when Srila Jiva Goswami speaks this thing, Srila Jiva Goswami also made one point. What did Srila Jiva Goswami say? And I had said this thing there, ki even if theoretically we accept that, you know, the sadhaka is experiencing some material distress, and the Lord is affected by seeing that material distress. But still, Srila Jiva Goswami says, even if we accept such a thing theoretically, but the thing is, the main thing which melts the Lord's heart is not this material distress or material happiness. The main thing which melts the Lord's heart is bhakti. So many devotees asked me this question, that we are very uncomfortable with the fact that Krishna does not feel our material distress and Krishna does not feel our material happiness. But it's a philosophical fact that Krishna does not have an idea of material distress and material happiness. The reason behind this is, very clearly I had specified that if Krishna has to ever experience material distress, Krishna will have to accept a material body. But Krishna never has in the past, never will in the future, ever accept a material body. Because if Krishna accepts a material body, it means Krishna is accepting a covering of Maya, which means Maya becomes stronger than Krishna, which is nothing but Mayavad, the philosophy where Maya becomes stronger than Bhagavan. So Sri Jiva Goswami very clearly says that Prakrita Dukha, that material suffering, it is not the cause of Krishna becoming happy on somebody. So I will repeat the words of Sri Jiva Goswami. Sarvatha Dainyatmaka Bhakta Bhakti Anubhav Eva Tam Karunayati Natu Prakritam Dukham. It is the devotion in the devotee's heart which melts his heart, not his material suffering. So when we are praying to the Lord that we are suffering, so the Lord sees the devotional aspect of our prayer, not the suffering aspect of our prayer, because that devotional aspect of our prayer is what is capable of melting the heart of the Lord. And I also gave the example of Gajendra. Gajendra was fighting for 1,000 years and suffering materially. But until he started exhibiting his bhakti, till that time, the Lord did not pay attention. So for 1,000 years, this devotee who in his previous life was Indradyumna for 1,000 years he is suffering and the Lord is not doing anything to rescue him. But as soon as he starts exhibiting his bhakti, the Lord comes within a very short time to rescue him. So although the Lord may not be melted at heart by distress, but he definitely becomes melted at heart by bhakti. So whatever distress we have to transform it into bhakti and present it in front of the Lord. That is the trick for melting his heart. So that is what Srila Jiva Goswami also says there. And I have to present it as the Siddhanta says, because it is very important to understand it from a Siddhantic point of view.
Yes, Prabhu. So practically speaking, suppose any part of that, it is not always that Krishna save me or something like that, but as a friend, as you share with somebody, any material, of course, in material world, we can experience only material distress. So how do we put it into bhakti for anything for that matter, maybe coronavirus or anything for that matter, getting hurt or anything by somebody saying harsh word, and if I have to say it to Krishna, how do I put it in a devotional way that Krishna understands it, Prabhu?
Okay, how do we put suffering in a very devotional way to Lord Krishna? So we put it in a devotional way by remembering Lord Krishna even when we have received suffering in our life. Because many times people receive immense happiness in their life, and when they receive happiness, they don't say that this is because of Lord Krishna. Happiness, they say, oh, I earned this happiness, I deserve this happiness. But when they receive some suffering, they say, I don't deserve this suffering. And why did Krishna give me this? So Krishna says, I am neither responsible for that material happiness, nor am I responsible for that material suffering. I am not the giver, the previous aparadhas. For a devotee, the previous aparadhas are the main reason for suffering. And bhakti is the reason for material happiness. So whenever we receive some suffering, we see some suffering, at that point of time, I had specified in the presentation a very small technique that immediate surrender by saying Krishna Tavasmi. And if you went through the presentation, it's a very nice verse from the Ramayana that was quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sakrideva prapanno yastavasmi iti chayachate avayam sarvada tasmi dadami etad vratam mama. So that verse was quoted. So you can go through that presentation again and you can see that technique of surrendering in an instant by saying Krishna Tavasmi. And one can offer all of one's feelings. Although Lord Krishna does not experience material happiness or material suffering, one can say that, dear Lord, whatever attachment I have for material happiness, let all of that attachment be transferred unto you. So whatever attachment we have for material happiness, whatever attachment we have for this material world, at that point of time, whenever we suffer, we can pray very simply, Ya Pritir Avivekanam Vishayeshvana Payini Swam Anusmaratah Same Hridayan Napa Sarpatu. So whatever attachment, materialistic attachment, I have in my heart for this material world, let me have that same attachment for you and let me never forget you at any point of time. And then the devotee should say, Krishna Tavasmi, Krishna, I belong to you, only you. So devotee should never give up this attitude of favorability towards Krishna. So many devotees are thinking like this, that Krishna is responsible for my suffering. Krishna is the policeman in the sky who is giving me all this suffering. So this attitude has to be given up by the devotee, because as long as the devotee is thinking that Krishna is personally giving me this suffering, Krishna absolutely has no business giving any suffering to any living entity. Krishna is happy in his spiritual world. The entity who is giving suffering is Maya, especially for non-devotees. The entity who is giving suffering on such a mass level in the world is Maya. And Krishna has given a free hand to Maya in the material world. Krishna says, I will not interfere with whatever you do. You can do whatever you want in the material world. Although Krishna keeps an eye on her, but Krishna does not interfere too much in her day-to-day affairs. So that is Maya's work, whatever she is doing in this material world. And the devotee knows that Krishna himself has no personal interest in giving any suffering to any living entity in this material world. So otherwise Krishna will become the cruel god, the jealous god, the envious god, which Krishna is definitely not.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Chandrakant.
Thanks. Namaste.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandat Pranam. Thank you for a beautiful class. Prabhuji, I have a question. So you nicely explained about different aspects of the word Bhagavan. And you also mentioned or referred to Vishnu Puran that the word Bhagavan means that one who possesses all the six opulences. But I vaguely remember that in your previous class when you were describing about the glories of Lord Shiva, I think it was on the occasion of Shivratri. And does Lord Shiva also possess the six opulences or he doesn't?
Okay, so it is said in the in that very verse where six opulences are described, it is said, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. Samagrasya means the sum totality. So, sum totality, which means all the opulences that are ever possible in the spiritual world or the material world. All opulences originally belong to him. So, that is only possible in Bhagavan, who is Lord Krishna himself. So, by adding the term Samagrasya in the definition, Parashar Muni has ensured that the definition is mainly applicable to Lord Vishnu. That is what we can see from the verse. But sometimes the term is used for Lord Shiva also. So just as sometimes a subordinate king under a Chakravarti king, under a main king or a subordinate landlord is also sometimes known as king. Similarly, a personality who is subordinate to Lord Krishna is also sometimes referred to as Bhagavan. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhuji, I have a basic question. You might already covered this, but I'm disconnected in between. Prabhuji, like as a Bhagavad Gita is said by Lord Sri Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita, whatever the verses like we read, we starts with Bhagavan Uvacha, right? So when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, why we won't call it as a Krishna Uvacha or something else? Why do we call as a Bhagavan Uvacha?
Because that is his de facto position. His de facto position is that he is Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is Swayam Bhagavan. So whenever other personalities are speaking, they may not always be referred to by the term Bhagavan. Sometimes Brahma speaks something and it is called as Brahma Uvacha. Brahma spoke. And sometimes Lord Shiva is saying it is Rudra Uvacha. But when Krishna says it is always Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Vyasadev is very particular about this, that he always refers to Krishna as Bhagavan. Whereas other personalities, he does not always refer to them as Bhagavan. That is the simple answer to this question.
Okay. Yeah. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Thank you. And I'm very sorry. The very basic question, just trying to understand.
No, no.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for such a wonderful session, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I had a question, Prabhu. It is on, so you were talking about how Krishna is simultaneously present in like the 16,000 queens' palaces and conducting the wedding. So, Prabhuji, so we understand that Krishna, he can do that on his own. Can his expansions also, like the first Chaturvyuha and then his Vishnu expansions or like Vaikuntha also, can they also do the same thing?
Yes, all the Vishnu expansions are also capable of doing the same thing. And but the original the origin of that tendency of unlimited expansion lies in Lord Krishna. And that is the reason why Narad Muni, he never saw anybody else do such a thing. But he saw Lord Krishna do it for the first time in his entire life. Although it is very clear that in the spiritual world, other forms of the Lord can also engage in a similar pastime. But it is mainly Lord Krishna who is seen to be doing it even when he comes in the material world. Narad Muni, he became surprised because he saw Lord Krishna doing even here in his pastimes in the material world. So other forms of the Lord can also do a similar thing. But you might have noticed in the other pastimes, whenever the other forms of the Lord appear in the material world, they don't usually manifest so many replicas simultaneously. So, but other forms of the Lord can also potentially in the spiritual world have the same effect of having multiple replicas. There's a praman about this also. We sing in Narasimha Arati also. Ito Narasimha Parato Narasimha Yato Yato Yami Tato Narasimha Bahir Narasimha Hridaye Narasimha. So is, you know, he is, Lord Narasimha is here, Lord Narasimha is there. Wherever I go, I see Lord Narasimha. He is within my heart, he is outside. And Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jwalantam Sarvato Mukham. Everywhere are his distinct faces. So that's only possible when he has unlimited replicas. So it's possible with other forms of the Lord too. But the personality who actually demonstrated it in his pastimes was Lord Krishna. That's why Narada Muni got so surprised that even in the material world he is demonstrating it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanut Pranam. Thank you so much for explaining two very important concepts about Bhagavan and about Krishna's expansion. It's not expansion, but it's replica. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So I have a thank question, but that's not connected to this class, but that's connected with the purport and where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained something. Is it okay to ask?
Sure, sure.
So it is 8.3.31, Prabhuji. Canto 8,
okay.
Chapter 31. In that, the purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically hints that since Gajendra was in such a difficult position and was praying for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods who could have immediately gone to his rescue hesitated to go there. Since they considered Gajendra's prayer to be directed toward the Lord, they felt offended, and this in itself was offensive. Consequently, when the Lord went there, they also went and offered prayers to the Lord so that their offense might be excused. Prabhuji, can you explain that, that the demigods, I mean, what is this? Can you explain this purport a little bit more, Prabhuji? And if you can refer
okay,
to what...
Just yeah. Just a minute, let me see the verse. I think you are referring to 8.3.30.
You want me to
yes,
read
Mataji?
The verse? You want me to read the Sanskrit?
Yeah. The Sanskrit of the verse is Evam Gajendra Mukavarnita Nirvishesham. Is that the verse?
No. It is tam tadvadartham upalabhya jagannivasah totram nishamir dvijay sah samstuvadhi.
Okay, tam tadvadartham upalabhya jagannivasah totram nishamir dvijay sah samstuvadhi chandomayena garudena samuyamanas chakrayudo bhyakamadashu yato gajendra. So dvijay brahmadivir devai sah sahita eva samstuvadbhir iti swa aparadha khandanartham eva iti bhava chandomayena ichchamayena. So can you read, Mataji, what I did not understand what translation was given? You read from the purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically hints that since Gajendra was in such a difficult position and was praying for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, The demigods who have immediately gone to his rescue hesitated to go there, since they considered Gajendra's prayers to be directed towards the Lord, and they felt offended. Actually, this is not in the purport to this verse. It is in the purport to the previous verse. In the purport to the previous verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Gajendrena vayam na tu ishadapi stutaha pratyuta yasya brahmadayo devaha. Okay, so actually he's saying, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that the demigods felt offended that, you know, he directly mentioned in one verse. If you can see verse 8.3.22, do you have the verse in front of you, Mataji?
Sorry, Prabhuji.
Can you see verse number 22 of the same chapter?
Yeah.
Okay. So that verse, Yasya Brahmadayo Deva, in that verse, it is very clearly said that all others are his part and parcel, Lord Brahma, demigods, etc. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that at this point of time, the other demigods understood that he is not praying to them, because he had not specifically mentioned any name. So they were thinking that all of these qualities, they are also present in us. But when he said, Yasya Brahmadayo Deva, at that point of time, they understood that he is clearly not speaking about us. At that point of time, they felt offended. That is what he is saying, Mataji.
Oh, okay. So can you repeat the last line again, Prabhuji?
So at that point of time, they felt offended, and they said that, okay, you know, if he is not praying to us, then let that Lord to whom he is praying, let him come and rescue him.
So this was they felt offended, and then when the Lord came, they also came to get rid of this offense. That's what this purport says.
Yeah, so it said after that, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Satu Shigram na Pratyaksha na Pratyaksha tu Shigram na Pratyakshi Bhavishyati. So the demigods were thinking that the Supreme Lord Vishnu will not very soon come to his rescue. Tasya Svabhavam Vayam Janima Eva. So we know the nature of Lord Vishnu. He doesn't come so soon. Eva to graha grasto marishyati eva iti. So this Gajendra, out of his stubbornness, he will die in the hands of this crocodile. So this is what they were thinking. So tada tat kshana eva tatra hari nikhilatma katva dhetor akhilamara maya iti taru mula sechenena. So at that very moment, Lord Hari manifested, when all of these demigods were thinking that Lord Vishnu will not manifest very soon in front of him. That is what is said by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti.
Oh, thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice explanation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hari.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Sorry. Prabhuji, sorry, I have one more question. So, you clearly defined quoting from the 10th canto, what Sri Sukadeva Goswami, he distinguishes between Lord Shiva and Lord Hari. But also we see that in the 4th canto, Brahmaji, he glorifies Lord Shiva to be beyond the modes of this cosmic manifestation or the material nature. So how do we understand this, Prabhuji? So does it mean that Lord Shiva takes the position, even though he is beyond this cosmic manifestation, that that position is just to ensure that the material manifestation is created and maintained properly? How do we understand that?
Okay, it's very easy to understand. So, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has clarified this thing. So Srila Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrita says that Sada Shivakhya Sanmurti, that when he is being glorified as beyond the three modes of material nature, we have to understand that it is his form as Sadashiv in the spiritual world which is being glorified, Prabhu. But he accepts his form as Lord Shiva, as Rudra in this material world, and when he accepts that form in the material world at that point of time, he accepts the dominance of the material modes of nature. I will read the exact verse from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Sada Shivakhya Tanmurti Samogandha Vivarjita. Rupa Goswami has said in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, his murti named Sada Shiv is devoid of all modes of material nature, especially the mode of ignorance. So that is about Sada Shiv. That is how we have to understand it. But whenever, when Srimad Bhagavatam says that in 10th canto, 88th chapter, Trilingo Guna Samvrita, that point of time we have to understand that this is Lord Shiva, who has accepted the role of destruction in the material world and has accepted the covering of the material modes of nature.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you Vamsha expansions, right, Prabhu? So in Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Krishna expands into those boys, what is that kind of expansion, Prabhuji?
When Krishna expands into those boys, what are those hands? Those were all four-handed,
yeah.
Prabhu, so they were amshas.
Okay, okay. So they were,
you know, Prakash will be two-handed Krishna. How Brahma saw them? Brahma saw them as four-handed.
Okay. Yeah, Prabhuji, if you have time, one more question, Prabhu.
Yes.
In generally related to Bhagavatam. So, Prabhu, yesterday we were discussing different cantos represent different limbs of the Lord. So if you say first canto is the lotus feet of the first canto, 1 and 2 are the lotus feet of the Lord. Like if somebody says practically, what does it mean? Like 10th canto represents Mukharavinda, the face of the Lord, right? So how do we understand it, Prabhu, practically, the different limbs representing different cantos of the Lord?
See, Prabhu, the verse which has been specified, which compares all the cantos of the Lord to specific limbs of the Lord, we have to understand one thing, that the Lord has one specific quality, that Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritti Manti. So through one limb, he can perform the function of another limb. We might have heard this verse in Brahma Samhita. So sometimes, even though one canto is being described as one limb, so just as first canto is compared to his lotus feet, does it mean that there are no direct descriptions of Lord Krishna in the first canto? So there are definitely descriptions of Lord Krishna and of his Leela, the same descriptions which are found in 10th canto. So we have to understand that all descriptions of the Lord are present in all cantos, but some specific descriptions are present in specific cantos, and therefore they are equated to certain bodily parts of the Lord. This is just so that people do not perceive the Bhagavatam as merely black and white words. They should also correlate the Bhagavatam with the personal deity form of the Lord. So that is the reason why the Bhagavatam has been equated with the various bodily limbs of the Lord. But one has to understand this thing, that originally the Bhagavatam is Shabda Brahma, and the deity form of the Lord is known as Param Brahma. So they are two different forms, and they are two eternally distinct forms. But Sri Vyasadeva has also made a comparison between both of them, just so that the devotee can see both forms in a single both forms in one picture. So that is the reason why it has been done. Otherwise, the word form and the deity form, they are both eternally distinct forms.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
If you want to see a praman, if you want to see a specific proof of this, then do you have the Bhagavatam in front of us, in front of you, Prabhu?
Which canto, Prabhu?
6.16.51. So if you
one
see
minute.
verse canto 6, verse number 16, text number 51.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Just a minute, Prabhu. Yeah, so 6.16.51 says, Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamobhe Shashwati Dano. Lord says, I have two eternal distinct forms. One is called as Shabda Brahma, which is Shastra, scripture. And one is Param Brahma, which is deity form. So both are distinct, eternally distinct forms of material. So both forms have been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. One is called as Shabda Brahma, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. One is called as Param Brahma, which is the deity form of the Lord. So these two have been described very clearly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Vyasadev in the Padma Puran has equated Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma in one of his verses, where he is correlating each and every canto to each and every bodily limb of the Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, is there anything like it's relating directly to the lotus feet? Anything in the first two cantos that are related to the lotus feet of the Lord?
Yeah, Bhishma in his stuti, in Bhishma stuti, he glorifies the lotus feet of the Lord. Kunti also in her glorification, she glorifies the lotus feet of the Lord. Namaste Pankaj Angraye. You might be knowing from Kunti Maharani.
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. This is a very clear explanation. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, one question. You mentioned that in your about the videos about suffering, the three types, right? Non-devotees, devotees, and pure devotees. So one question, Prabhu, since I am like a very new neophyte. So question is that you said only the initiated Prabhujmat, they are called as a devotees, right? So is this from like scriptures, Prabhu, or is it that definition of devotees or initiated, or is it something from our gurus or coming from our senior Maharaj or first?
Yes, what I had spoken is by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami has said that bhakti mainly begins with sadhan bhakti. You might have heard the term sadhan bhakti too. So yes. Sadhan bhakti, Rupa Goswami describes 64 limbs of sadhan bhakti. The very first limb is Guru Padashraya. So the very first limb of sadhan bhakti is taking shelter of the lotus feet of a guru. So unless a sadhak takes shelter of the lotus feet of guru, actually sadhan bhakti doesn't begin. Sadhan bhakti begins only when one takes shelter of the lotus feet of a guru, and when the guru accepts such a sadhak at his under his shelter. So that is when sadhan bhakti truly technically begins. Because we say that there are 10 offenses to chanting the holy names of the Lord. And one of those offenses is guru ravagya, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. But how can that offense be applicable to a person who has no spiritual master? So it's very obvious that the actual offenses and everything, they start applying only after initiation or after acceptance by the guru.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah. So, Prabhu, then you mentioned the second question is that Krishna is not responsible for our miseries, right? Because he is, it's all controlled by the Maya. So, how to know, pray to Krishna? Should we pray, as you mentioned, only through bhakti we can come over these kind of miseries? He is aloof from all these miseries. He is completely spiritual. So how do we do we pray to get rid of these miseries or any miseries, or we are, if we are suffering through, or we just do our bhakti and hope for that the miseries go away?
Yeah, ideally we continue our bhajan and we learn to tolerate the misery. So that is what a devotee does. And I had explained that in the presentation when I spoke that verse, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano. There is one verse which I spoke, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bhunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam. I don't know if you saw that verse, I had specified how the devotee tolerates it. So I will specify the verse number and you can see that verse again in the presentation. This verse was 10.14.8, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8. So you can see that verse again in the presentation, and I have specified there how the devotee, especially the pure devotee, looks at suffering. So our aim is to achieve the same platform as the pure devotee, and that is what we should try to do.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. I have a few questions for clarification. One was concerning the fact that Lord Shiva is covered by the modes. Now, in his role as the Guna Avatar, mode of ignorance, I thought that he is controlling that mode, but he is not actually covered or illusioned by that mode. So can you clarify that for me? You know, does being covered by the modes mean that he is controlled by it? I mean, certainly he can't be covered by the modes in the same way we are, is it?
Yes, so the verse which I specified today, Trilingaha Guna Samvritaha, the term used there is Guna Samvritaha. Samvritaha means covered by gunas, covered by the three modes. So certainly he is not only controlling them, but the modes also in many ways have covered him. So just as a person, who may be working in a factory, I'm just giving a very crude example. Just as a person who's working in an industry which produces dyes and colors, so he may be controlling so many colors, but at many points of time, the colors is unable to prevent the application of colors on his own body. So sometimes the colors get applied on his own body. So many people who are working in the dye industry, we see that sometimes their own bodies get covered in that color, although they are the controllers of those colors. Similarly, he is originally the controller of the mode of ignorance, but sometimes those modes start affecting him also, because sometimes they cover him too, but not every time. Just as the modes are capable of covering the living entity, the ordinary jiva, conditioned jiva in the material world, so there is a big difference between the way he is sometimes affected and the way the living entity is always covered.
Uh-huh. Yes, we can be like practically completely covered. That, right. His is very, very not at all to that extent.
Yeah, very occasional and to a very tiny degree. And Lord Krishna has specified how the living entities are covered. If you have seen that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that as a fire is covered by smoke, as embryo is covered,
yes.
In similar way, the living entity is covered by various degrees of the material mode. So that is the position of the living entity. So that is Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse number 38. As fire is covered by smoke, mirror is covered by dust, or embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of lust. So that is the covering of the living entity. But Lord Shiva is not like that. He is never fully overpowered by the modes as the living entity is overpowered.
Right. Thank you. Another thing I need clarification. When you were describing the Paramatma, I guess quote unquote Paramatma of the spiritual world, and I think you were calling him Paramatma because maybe he has similar role in the spiritual world as he does here, in that he also there sanctions our activities, right? And he's also witnessing all of our activities. Is that why you were?
Yes. Yes.
But when that is happening, when he's doing those things, he's doing them as original Krishna. In what form is he?
No, he is doing them as the four-handed Lord within the heart.
In the spiritual world, he's doing that.
Yes, and I'm not saying this without Pramana. Should I speak to you the actual words of Jiva Goswami where he has specified Paramatma being present in the spiritual world?
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Yes. In the beginning of the Paramatma Sandarbh, the second sentence he says, Yadyapi Paramatmatvam Vaikunthepi Prabhorasti. So he says, Yadyapi Paramatmatvam, although Paramatmaness of the Lord, Vaikunthepi Prabhorasti, is present even in Vaikuntha. That is his clear statement.
He said, even though what? Even though Paramatmaness? No.
Paramatmaness, his quality of being a Paramatma. I just translated very literally, even though his Paramatma-ness, the quality of being Paramatma, Vaikunthepi Asti, is present even in the spiritual world.
Okay.
This is his clear statement in the Paramatma Sandarbh. This is at the very beginning of the Paramatma Sandarbh, he has made this statement.
But this quality of being Paramatma in the spiritual world, is that quality embodied in, I think you were saying, in his Vishnu form?
Yes.
No, because Vishnu form is only present as a Purusha avatar, right? Or is Vishnu form...
The Purusha avatars originally expand from the Vishnus in the spiritual world.
Okay. So in the spiritual world, that quality of Paramatma is present in his four-handed form.
Yes. And the specific form who is Paramatma is known as Aniruddha.
In the spiritual world.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let me just write that. Aniruddha. Okay.
Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan has specified that in his text named Aishwarya Kadambini, that it is Aniruddha who is the Paramatma within the heart of all the living entities.
In the spiritual world.
Irrespective of material world or spiritual world, it is Aniruddha. It doesn't change just because the living entity has come in the material world. The function of Aniruddha changes. Aniruddha himself doesn't change.
There was some confusion also when you were describing Krishna's Prakash manifestation, which is where, you know, that's the replica of his original form, like with the 16,108 queens, right? And then when it's more like a when it's an instead of a replica, when it's an expansion, I think you were calling that, was it called Unga or Amsha?
Amsha.
Amsha. Okay, so in that case, is it that the expansions, they don't act independently? In other words, they don't do different things. They all do identical activities at the same time, or?
No. The difference is that the expansion has different bodily features and different activities. The bodily features are different in an expansion. And the mood is also different in an expansion. In a replica, the bodily features and the mood is exactly the same. That's why it's called as a replica.
Okay, wait a minute. In the expansion, the forms are different.
Yeah, the body
and the mood
are different. Yeah, and the mood is different.
And different forms and mood and the
bodily features.
Okay, you know, in this regard to, you know, the fact that Narada Muni was able to see that Krishna was doing his own thing in all the different palaces of the different queens, all those queens. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how, without his also being able to expand himself, how he was able to even witness that. You know, I'm sure I'm thinking materially, but, you know, it seemed like he would have to be in so many different places at once himself to be able to witness this prakash.
Narada Muni saw from the sky that in all the different palaces he could see Lord Krishna being present simultaneously. So he saw from the sky because he can travel everywhere. So Narada Muni saw in the sky for the first time, then he quickly went and saw in so many palaces the same thing was going on. And he saw Lord Krishna simultaneously present in all the palaces, but the ego within every replica was different. So that is what surprised Narada Muni so much.
Uh-huh. And somebody also asked the question about the Brahma Vimohan Lila, where Krishna expanded himself as the various cowherd boys.
Right.
And in that Leela, what did you say that was? That was, would you call that a Prakash?
No, that was expansion. That was expansion. Those were...
Yeah, because they were all different. He manifested all different forms, right? And all different moods, because the boys had all different forms and moods.
Yes, so it was expansion, 400. Different forms and Lord Krishna.
Oh, when you say different forms, you mean different from the original two-armed Krishna?
Original two-handed Lord Krishna. So Brahma perceived them as 400 Vishnus, which means that they were not Prakash Vigraha. They were Amshas, they were expansions of the Lord.
Okay. Oh, I interpreted, when you said different forms, I interpreted that in a different way. Okay, so that's a little clearer now. And I think just one last thing. Referred to another question someone asked. I didn't understand your answer when you said when you were giving the answer to why in the Gita it says Bhagavan Uvacha instead of Krishna Uvacha. Why is that?
Right. Because Vyasadeva is very particular about addressing Krishna as Bhagavan all the time. Whereas when Shiva or Brahma are seeking something, he does not always call them as Bhagavan. He only sometimes calls them as Bhagavan. But Krishna, he is always, Vyasadeva always addresses Krishna as Bhagavan Vaj.
Okay. But still, you know, I mean, is there no place where Vyasadeva refers to him as Krishna? He does.
No, when he says Uvacha, Uvacha means who spoke.
Oh, when he says Uvacha. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you will never find Krishna Uvacha.
Okay. Like, but you will see sometimes Brahma Uvacha or Shiva Uvacha, but never...
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, Prabhu. Wow. All right. Thank you so very much.
Thank
this
you.
Was an amazing class. Yes, amazing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such an amazing class. Really thanks for being so patient to answer all the questions of all of us. Thank you very much for your association, Prabhu. Very grateful. And I just wanted to appreciate no questions because I think all the questions are answered. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody has any other questions they can ask you? No problem. Okay. If no more questions, then we can pause for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Please pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpata Rupeshya,
Vashya, 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 Anantakoti Vaishnavaranda Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Ki Jai, Hari Parshad Prabhu Ki Jai.